Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Welcome to Naked Truths, getting real with me, your not-so-filtered therapist. So dating sucks. Well, maybe I should rephrase that. Date nights are really fun. It's the dating process that I'm talking about. First of all, it's a full-time job. And then there is the search, trying to find that someone you can like. The whole interview, figuring out commonalities, and if there are red flags lurking somewhere. The texting, the misconceptions, the ghosting, the bad first dates. Okay, the really awful first dates. Well, that is what really sucks. I hear it from my clients. I've experienced it myself. I hear it from my friends. And it must be a thing because there are so many experts out there telling us how to date, what to do, what not to do, tips and tricks, etc., etc. I had Brian Howie from the Great Love Debate podcast on Naked Truths for my State of the Date episode. And boy, did I get messages. One of Brian's beliefs is that dating is hard for people 50 plus because we are all so damn picky. And my listeners did not like that. Neither did I. I do not believe we need to settle in order to be partnered. Yet, I often hear that there are no normal people out there from both sexes. So statistically, that can't be true. Then is Brian right? So that is what today's episode is about, dating over the speed limit. And if you don't catch my reference, it's dating in your 50s. And I have real live experts on today, real women who are actually in the trenches. So welcome to Naked Truths, Rachel, Alicia, and Jane. So to start, can I ask each of you to go around the virtual room and introduce yourselves to the listeners?
Hi, my name is Alicia, and I live in Connecticut for many years, although I'm from Texas. I've been divorced for many, many years, and I'm 54, and I have three children in their 20s.
Thanks.
Everyone, I'm Rachel. I also live in Connecticut. I'm widowed. I have been on my own for 6 years and been actively dating for 3 years. I am 52 and have two teenage daughters.
Thanks.
Hi, I'm Jane. I am a mom of two teenage boys, so double trenches there. I'm divorced since 2019. I'm 52 and also I'm actually in the city and I've been here since 2010. I'm imported from the Southern Hemisphere.
Yes, it sounds very international on Naked Truths today. Okay, so thank you. So my first question is, what do you think of that idea? Are we just too picky?
But I think we're allowed to be picky because, you know, of our age and stage. So, you know, of course, I think we're picky, but we're supposed to be.
Okay, what do you mean we're supposed to be?
Well, we're trying to meet somebody and then you're bringing him into your life and that includes your kids, right? Mm-hmm. Your friends, your family. So of course you're going to be picky, but I will tell you when I first started dating, I had a very long list of what my person was going to be. And my list has gotten a lot shorter.
Okay. And is that because you're settling or because you've redefined
it? It's not because I'm settling, but after I got divorced, I wanted somebody completely opposite from my ex-husband. So that had to be a very long list and my person needed to be really, really phenomenal. And it's not that I'm settling, but I've decided to let go of a lot of things because certain things are way more important. So not that I'm settling.
Okay. So it's not settling. It's reprioritizing. I mean, can we use that word?
Exactly.
Different things.
Sure.
Okay. Rachel, what do you think?
I think that we're picky because we're all set in our ways at this point in our lives. So I think that's very different from when you were in your 30s, dating, you know, early 30s, late 20s, I don't think that we had become set in our ways in terms of who we are, what we want, and how we want to be in relationships. So I think that leaves us with like, okay, we're kind of set in our ways, so are the men. And that leads to us sort of not accepting a lot of things. You know, he's too selfish, self-absorbed, blah-de-blah. And yet, you know, 30 years ago, he probably wasn't coming across like that because he hadn't sort of evolved in that way.
As Rachel says, I think it's less about being picky and more about now that it's not your first rodeo, you know more of what you want. You know very much more what didn't work before. So it's less being picky. It's just more you are fine-tuning your needs. And that often, now that you've halved the pool of people, it becomes more difficult to find a match.
I love that idea. Everything about that, like fine-tuning, right? That's not picky. That's kind of knowing who we are, right? Mm. You know, to Rachel, to your point, like, you know, in our 20s and 30s, we didn't know who we were exactly. We didn't know what we liked and we didn't like, right? I mean, it's like going to a restaurant, you know, when you're younger, like you love Italian food, or, you know, as you're older, there's things that you prefer now, right? You have a different taste for stuff. So, Jane, to your point, we're really just defining and really narrowing in on the things that we want in a partner.
Yeah, I think we've gone from a very long list that looks a lot like, you know, a wish list for your Christmas party or extravaganza. And now you've distilled it down to a must-have list, which is a little bit more of reality. The thing is, it might be a little bit more difficult to find.
And
it's more of a needle in the haystack.
Okay, because you think that now you're so specific?
No, I just think that it's a numbers game. Right now, I think it's a numbers game in the sense that, you know, when you were younger and everybody was single and searching and didn't really know and the rules of engagement were sort of loosely defined. Now you're looking at a totally different entry-level point where you've either got people who've never been married or have been married and divorced. You're looking at a completely different societal influence bringing in that we live in a bit of a dystopian reality right now. Mm-hmm. With, I think we lived in a state of sort of ignorance was bliss back then. And now this is just a lot more reality. And I think the numbers, there's just less availability of the quality. There's a ton of quantity and not so much quality.
Okay.
And when I first got divorced, something that I did, and it was a long time ago, which is not very nice. Somebody could give me the ick immediately with just a text. They would say like a word and I'd be like, no. And how rude to cut somebody off for saying tapas. And I was like, you know, what a dumb word. And now it's like, you know, let's give them a chance, give them a date. And then if the date doesn't go well, then you can be like, I just am not feeling it. But one word and I'm like, idiot, you know. Rachel, so I don't do that. I don't do that anymore.
Okay, Rachel, you are nodding.
Yeah, I agree with that. I can relate to that a lot.
Okay. So you're saying that you're
the ick factor.
Well, yeah. The ick is real. The ick is absolutely real.
But not for one word in a text.
It's just like, being more tolerant. I think what you're saying is you were just intolerant, and sort of as time has evolved and as you sort of gone out and dated more and more, you realize that like it, you know, it's you can't just sort of cut everything off straight away. You really have to be a little bit more tolerable because we are pretty set in our ways. So we are also giving off stuff that's annoying.
Of course. Right. Well, no, we're not. We're great. But here's a perfect example. I was texting a guy a long time ago and he wrote the word totes. And I wrote back, did you just say totes? Meanwhile, I use that word all the time now. But so I basically thought he was just like, I was like, what are you, 11? You know? So perfect right. example.
Right. One of the things that I say is that, you know, remember when we all had kids and there was, you know, there was, you had to try a food three times. At least that was the rule in my house, right? Because anything new is going to be icky, will not be accepted, right? So until you can't tell me that you don't like the broccoli until you try it at least two or three times. I think that's what's happening with, right? I mean, we discover that like when something feels different or not what we expected, it's easy to say like, ooh, no, right? We need to give it like the three rule try or something like that.
Well, and I sort of, and I do believe you, I mean, I'm not a big fan of this, but that you should go on a second date, but I'm from the school if you need to feel it immediately. But I do think, you know, a second date sometimes, because sometimes there could be something there, you know.
Well,
I would love to find somebody that's going to be my best friend. And sometimes that can grow from, you know, just hanging out with somebody for a while. I mean, I haven't found them yet, but you know.
Okay. So are you talking about, have we just shifted into something else? We're talking about do we need immediate chemistry? What is that? What needs to happen on a first date in order to get a second date?
Well, yeah, that's what I want, but.
Okay. So is it chemistry? Are we all looking for chemistry? Is that a thing? Is chemistry different?
Yeah, but it also burns you, you know. It blows up in your face too.
Yeah, I think there's a variation. I mean, I think zero chemistry, if you're not looking for any kind of romantic connection and you're just purely looking for a friend and a companion, then chemistry is not important. If you still feel like you have,
like you want sex
love in you and sex in you, and especially if you've come out of a long dreary divorce situation or you've been alone for a while, I think chemistry is a must. It's just how you interpret chemistry. There's dangerous chemistry, which is like a full-blown firebomb that's going to burn you and leave you scorched. And then there's interesting chemistry where it's not barren, but it's there.
Right.
And I think there's a happy medium.
Okay, so what you're saying is that on the first date, there has to be a little curiosity. I love that word, right? You need to be a little curious about the guy that you're on the first date with, and he, you know, can't be a total blobfish, in order for you to want to see him again.
You got to want to make out with him. Yeah, basically. Basic math, yeah.
Okay, Rachel, what do you think?
I think it's important. I think sort of having that chemistry on the first date for me is a deal breaker, because I just feel like if it's not going to be there initially, you know, it's not, for me, it's not going to develop. Like I just have a very good sense of something when any relationship I kind of have, meet when I meet people. And, you know, in watching The Millionaire Matchmaker at some point, she always used to say how important it was to kiss on the first date.
Right.
So that you could just, even if it's just a goodbye kiss, but like a little bit intimate, so that you have an inclination, okay, actually there, and he is a little sexier than I thought, and vice versa. Like I've had that happen to me where the guy's like, kiss me good night, and being like, oh wow, I didn't realize that you were sort of, you know, had some sexiness to you, because right. I guess I wasn't sort of portraying that in our date.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I always say that there's no such thing as good kisses and bad kisses. There's just right kisses and wrong kisses, right? And you need to find your right kiss. And I love that. Like, so end every date with a kiss. You could be surprised, or it can cement what you're already feeling, as in yuck. Do you think that you are dating differently? You know, I heard priorities, right? So, but how are we showing up, right? How are you guys showing up differently than the first time around? I mean, do you think you're showing up differently? More cautious, more open, more excited, more fearful? What?
Also, it's a mixture of both. I mean, if you look at each of our situations, they are, just from the three of us, pretty different.
Okay.
I know I'm showing up in a way that I never have. Having been a serial wife, I was very much sickened in my way to somebody else's everything. Their needs, I morphed into their space. I didn't really know who I was. I now, strangely enough, am the best version of myself.
Great.
I'm comfortable in my skin. I'm not needy. You know, I'm comfortable in my body, with my sexuality, with my freedom. So I feel like I know that I want to have another good relationship. I think I was buffering between, you know, stormy seas before. So I just think showing up with an open frame of mind and a better version of myself, that's hopefully what's going to work in my favor.
Yeah. And I love that. And I'm glad that this is your best version. And in a way, kind of, I wonder if it makes it harder to date or to find someone, right? Because before, when you were just like, you know, shape-shifting and morphing into the person, it didn't matter. But now you have your own desires and likes and dreams, and you're so set in what you want in a good way, not like set like you where you're not flexible. Like, I know me, I know what I want. That must make dating somewhat harder because you have a bigger voice.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Especially if you are looking for a partner in our age range. I think it's much more difficult. I think, and maybe that's again just the inventory or the society we're living in now. But the experience that I've had with men my age is that if they have been in a relationship or a marriage for a long time, they're finally free. They don't particularly want a challenge. They want easy peasy, fast, sexy, no baggage, so to speak. And
who has no baggage?
Well, you know, I mean, a middle-aged woman with two kids still, you know, dealing with life, I'm not exactly going to be whisked off to Paris and at the moment's notice, or, you know, there's a certain amount of freedoms that I'm not yet afforded.
Okay, so unencumbered.
Unencumbered, yeah.
Is a better word.
Better word, yes, unencumbered.
Okay.
So I think they're expecting just easy peasy, and that doesn't come with my package. You know, that you're looking at women who either have never had kids or didn't want kids or are younger and much more mobile to do exactly that, morph into their lives, not meet you halfway.
Okay, so you're saying, because you had mentioned before that it's a numbers game, and you think that part of this numbers thing is that men in this age bracket are looking for something unencumbered, easy, that they just don't want to deal. Anyone else have that experience or a different experience?
Yes, I hear what Jane is saying. I sort of feel like the guys who are agreeing to go on a date with us at our age sort of aren't the ones who are focused on the 30-year-old, because there is that group. I have met sort of more who are more comfortable with sort of similar age, you know, maybe a little younger, because they feel like that is right for them. They're sort of the, you know, they're the guys that you sort of want to date versus the guys that are sort of maybe looking at both sides. Mm-hmm. But what I find when you say like, how do you show up versus like, how does the guy show up? What I'm finding with these guys this age is that they all come they're very focused on how amazing their children are and how amazing their lives are. And like, they're so great. And, you know, their kids are so great. And like, that's really how they're showing up. Like, I don't know why, who they think they are or why I care, but like, I don't really care how great your kids are right now. And that seems to be a big part of like their kind of ego and who they are, like how great their kids are and how great they've done and how wealthy they are, et cetera. Like there's none of that sort of, just like, this is who I am. I'm looking to, you know, meet someone great, irrespective of how amazing my kids are and how amazing I've done in my life.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's the saying, he doth protest too much, right? Sometimes when they lead with that, it's like, look here, don't look here. Maybe they're coming out of a relationship where they were not the best fathers, or where they were beaten down a little bit. And this is a place for them to reinvent themselves. And they lead with that.
Maybe,
you know, and also no one's going to put on, you know, a dating profile like mediocre dad.
Right.
Okay. I'm going to take a quick break. We're going to come right back. But we just need to hear from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
And we're back. So I want to go back to this idea about how men are showing up. I want to know, has anyone had this experience? Because this is like proven fact that men have far smaller support group than women do, far less friends, and really don't know how to be alone, especially men in this age group, right? They have been taken care of, to Jane's point. And do not want to be alone, do not want to deal with their kids alone. And they go from, it's almost like they go from divorce to like instant relationship. Has anyone had that experience?
Yes, I think even like in the widow world, I mean, widowed men get in a relationship within 6 months.
Crazy.
And women take 5 years. And that says it all. They can't be alone. They'll start dating very quickly within 6 weeks of their wife dying.
Right. Is that a red flag for any of you? Someone who is not yet divorced or who's separated or?
I won't date. I have in the past, but I won't date somebody if they're not divorced just because I have before. And I just don't want to deal with any of that crap.
What happened? I mean.
Me personally, I waited. It didn't even occur to me. My children were very little when I got divorced. So it just didn't even occur to me. I mean, I was consumed to start dating. And I just, because so now that I'm older and I've gone through all of this, I date with intention. I do not go out on a date with somebody unless I think there is could be something there. And I just don't want to be the girl you're dating while you're right before you meet your person, you know, your practice girlfriend while you're in the middle of getting divorced. I just don't want to, it's not what I'm looking for. And I believe for me, divorce is a death. You mourn it. And when you get when it's finalized, you're sad and you need to go through that. And so it's a process. So get through all of that and then start dating.
Okay, so it would be a red flag for you. You would not date anyone that's in
the middle
of a divorce.
I mean, red flag. Not, it's just you're just not somebody that I want to.
You're just not ready. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyone else have had experience dating somebody? Or I mean, we all know stories of like fresh off the divorce and people get together and they get immediately married, right? We all have those stories.
I think it depends on how circumstantially. I know when my divorce was long. Mine took a long time. If I'd waited, it would have been really missing even more good years of my life. So I did date while I was going through my divorce. And ironically, it turned into a 3-year relationship and it was wonderful. The fact that it didn't go the distance is a separate issue. But I think it's also very different how you've navigated the end of your relationship. If you've come to a natural end and your divorce your marriage just sort of petered out, or if you're a widower, very different circumstances. I think I haven't experienced somebody on the other side. I haven't dated anybody who's going through that. But I do think it depends on what the circumstances.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, right? Because sometimes, and I think women and men are different, right? Maybe, right? Women are so thoughtful about the divorce, right? Like, we were divorced in our head years before we actually either asked for the separation or got divorced, right? We were like pre-divorced. We could have probably dated in our pre-divorce years because we were already, disattached. I think men are a little bit different. And again, circumstantial, right? Every circumstance is different. But, I have a friend who's dating somebody who's not yet divorced. And I'm going to go back to this numbers idea. And her comment was, well, he'll never last long.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was kind of, maybe it's true, but so icky in a way. This idea that there is scarcity and that we are all competing for the top prize, right? That didn't land well for me. What about you guys? Any thoughts?
I think there's definitely, a lot more single women than single men in the world. So I think that's the one numbers thing. And then the second thing, though, I don't feel that we're competing for the prize, because I think there is somebody for everybody. And I think we all are going to want something completely different. So I don't think there's a first prize. And I think that the guys that seem to be the ones that are like the first prize end up being the worst ones.
Right. Right. And our idea of prizes are all different. We're all different women, right? We're all different, looking for different things. Who, you know, maybe, you know, in our 20s and 30s, there were the prizes, right? The hot guys that had the finance job, maybe, right? Whose parents had the house in the Hamptons. I don't know. I digress. Anyway, right? I think because we were all more similar, right? But as we develop into our own selves and we have our own voices, you know, like Jane said, like, this is the best she's ever felt. This is the more most in her skin she ever felt. Our prizes look very, very different.
And I think when we as women get divorced, we do things for ourselves and we get to be our best selves and we spend time alone, which makes us, you know, I think being able to spend time alone is so great. And men can't really do that. They struggle with those things. So I'm going to tell you all a quick funny story. The first guy that I dated when I got divorced, the chemistry was insane. It was crazy. He, you know, knocked off a lot of my list. It was a bad, toxic relationship, but the chemistry was great. We on and off for 4 years. I ran into him the other day, walking my dog. He is 62. He told me that he is dating. He went on a few dates with a girl that was friends with my son, who's 26. Ew. So when he and I were dating, she was 11. And I was like, you're disgusting. So anyway, he was like, why? I was like, never mind, you do you. So anyway, it was very funny.
Okay.
To each his own.
Okay.
I think there's the scarcity part for us. You know, it's by and large, it's still a man's world in terms of the availability of choice. As a man gets older, he gets more and more choice, and it's still more acceptable to date younger when you're a man.
But
there's always just more choice on the other. There's more availability for men generally.
Okay, right, because they can date younger. But I'm going to ask a question: who has dated younger in the room?
Oh, definitely.
Raise your hand. Hold on. Raise your hand.
But yeah,
you've never dated younger, Alicia?
No, and I don't want to.
Oh, I have. And is that the younger I dated was not necessarily long-term relationship focused, but I would be open to that. I mean, what are your thoughts about, you know, an LTR with a younger guy? Like, how young? Raised your hand. Go ahead, Jane.
This has been my post-divorce experience. So I have never dated anybody older than me. My partners have always been my age, but post-divorce, the relationship that I had out of, he was at least 10 years younger, and that was going to go the distance, and then COVID hit.
Yeah.
But I think he was one in a million. The fact that he turned out to be still married was a bit of a problem in the end, but...
See, dicks come in all ages. That's just good to know, at all ages.
And then the last relationship that I had, I mean, for him, it was possibly more a situationship. For me, it was a relationship. He was also 10 years younger. I think the long-term prospect of it is not an age issue per se. It's a life phase compatibility. So you've got to line up. Do you want to have children? Have you already had children?
Right.
What does that look like? Where does your professional and financial life sync up? I think that's more important than the age factor.
Right. And you should have those questions with people anyway, no matter at what age, right? You should have those questions.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Because, I mean, again, like, you know, I'm looking at like three pretty fabulous women whose energy is up. I mean, younger men will match our energy. Old men. Rachel, you raised your hand about dating younger. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I've had just nothing long-term at all, very short, but, you know, just really sort of refreshing, actually, because they have a different mindset and they're really excited to be with you. And they're just curious and interested and sort of respectful. It's almost like they're grateful to sort of get to experience someone who's, you know, got a lot more years on the earth than them and have had more experience in life.
And knows who we are. I mean, yeah. There's something sexy about a woman who is really comfortable in their own skin and knows what we want.
Yeah, it's definitely been refreshing. I mean, I have, you know, I struggle with men older than me. I'm good with my age, but, you know, it's all about how young they are in their 50s. There's some old 50s and there's some young 50s. So I agree with Jane that I don't think it's an age thing. I do think it is a phase of life and a timing thing.
Right.
And I think it's because my son is 28 that I have never, it's just never, you know, I've just never.
Well, we're not saying 28.
I know, but so when I first got divorced, my friends who are all married were like, you got to go younger. But it's never appealed to me. And I have always dated older. And I mean older, like 15 years older. And I'm clearly daddy issues.
I was going to say you probably, right. That could be for another episode.
Right.
But I think that also, I mean, younger guys can't, you know, could have kids who are launching, right? They could, I mean, it, you know, it depends, you know, if they get married, like, but you're right. It has to align, like, you know, a younger guy that's never been married, an older guy that's never been married, right? That's not going to align with some of the things that we are looking for. What about peer group and support group, right? Because when we were single in our 20s and 30s, we had lots of us running around. We had a posse of women to go out with. There were people in our similar situation. How are you feeling supported? Who is your support group? Who do you go out with?
Well, I personally don't go out to ever meet anyone because I think it's very difficult to meet people out. So I think that's changed a lot from when we were young. Mm-hmm. But obviously I have girlfriends and we do go out. But I think it's more support group of kind of just having people saying, you know, get on the apps, keep doing it, don't give up.
And are they single or married, those friends? Or have they just been your friends forever?
Most of my friends are married. I would say 95% of them.
Okay. And they're supportive of you?
Yes, very.
Great. What about you, Jane? Who's your support group?
I think I've been really, as unlucky in husbands, I've been incredibly lucky with friends. And I have a wide cross-section of friends, both single, divorced, my age, much younger, local, foreign. They're always supported. I don't necessarily go out, as Rachel said, go out in order to find someone to meet. I think that sort of pressure and hunting sort of scenario isn't very successful. And also in the city, I think that can be anticlimactic.
And depressing, right? A little demoralizing.
But I definitely have the support. I think it's just, it takes a whole lot of time to wonder, where are you going to find? Because it feels like we woke up in this version of dating, especially with the apps. It's like, I don't know, the Hunger Games and Squid Game had a baby, and they called it app dating. It's just like it's like triage most of the time.
Yeah, it's hard.
So which my friends are supportive, but it doesn't change the nature of what you're dealing with.
No, but it's good to have somebody rooting for you and someone where you can go and right.
Absolutely.
Right. And Alicia, what about you? You have a good support system?
Yeah, I have a great friends, but most of my friends, almost all of them are married. So I've been the like ninth wheel, you know, for many years, which it's great, you know, it's fine, but it gets old. But yeah, no, great friends.
Okay. So do you seek out single friends to hang out with?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I love going out with my single friends, and we do. But when we go out, it's to hang out with each other. We don't go out, you know.
Yeah.
To meet. Yeah, I've right. never gone out to a bar to try to meet somebody. First of all, I would be terrible at it, and that's my intention when I do go out with my single friends is to hang out with my single friends.
Yeah, pickup lines are a little rusty. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, we're back. We can talk about this for hours and hours, but I'm going to end the podcast with tell me your funniest dating story. And then while you're thinking about it, I can go. So the listeners already know about my dick video story, which I guess is both funny and kind of sort of sad. But this is, I was thinking about this morning. So when I was first on the apps, I was a total newbie and I matched with this really hot guy. So excited. We only texted a little bit before we made a plan for drinks, which was a total rookie move. Because when he showed up, he was still totally hot. But to say that English was his second language would be an understatement. And while anyone knows me, knows I like an accent, the guy didn't speak English, did not speak my language, like, at all. I did not speak his. A little awkward. And I didn't know what to do because I didn't want to be rude because I didn't know that I could say to him, you know, this may not work, and leave. I was being a people pleaser. And we had a drink, and I tried to communicate the best we could using sign language, like hand languages, and Google Translate. And he must have memorized some phrases in preparation for the date. And the phrases included, I am happy to see you. You are very pretty. Would you like another drink? Would you like to come home with me? And I was like, so I guess my takeaway, my lesson is to better vet my dates, especially ask them what they are looking for and maybe get on the phone with them and kind of hear their voice. Who has another one?
I'll tell you mine. It's not as funny as that probably, but I was set up by a friend's sister, twice removed friend. And we had planned to, we hadn't spoken on the phone anything because she had referenced him. She'd known him, friend of friend had known for years, lived nearby. And we had agreed on a bar to meet for a drink. And I was walking into the bar and I saw this like guy who, I saw a homeless person standing outside the bar sort of with like a backpack and clothes sort of hanging out. And I was like, oh, that's sad or whatever. And I walked into the bar and I sat down and it was Saturday night. It was quite busy, but I kept one chair and he had text saying like he'd be there, you know, in a minute. And next thing, this guy walked in, the guy that I thought was homeless, and sat down next to me, and it was him. Ugh. And he wasn't homeless.
Yes.
He looked homeless. We call him the homeless date. Disaster from moment one. He didn't sit down. He stood up the entire time, like at the bar. And like I kept saying, don't you want to sit down? And to your point of being a people pleaser, because this friend of my first friend's had set us up, I didn't want to be rude because I was in such shock. I didn't know what to do. So I stayed around for like an hour and a half. And then I was like, I got to go. And I bolted.
Yeah, an hour and a half. That's good. Yeah. You are a very nice person. Anyone else?
So it was in between the first relationship and trying again on the apps, all of which my friends very kindly helped make the most suitable profile for me. And I look reasonably decent for my age, so I guess I'm lucky in that respect. But I have learned to vet people online. So we spoke on the phone. I made him, before meeting prove that he was the person in the photographs by sending me a photo taken today holding two fingers or whatever it was.
Like ransom, like the New York Times, like the dates. I love that idea.
I know, I do. It's now a proof of life photograph because
I love that. That could be the best thing ever.
So he sent me a proof of life photograph. He was very sweet. He was like, "Do you want me to send you my ID?" And then at that point, I was like, "No, that might be a bridge too far. I'm not that psycho." So we agreed to meet, and he was gorgeous, like absolutely beautiful. And he was his age said he was 44, younger again, but I think I was probably 49 at the time. And the second I arrived on this date, we didn't even make it inside the bar. I said to him, "Oh my goodness." I said, "You're not 44, are you?" And his face was like crestfallen. He was like, "No, no, I'm 22.
Oh my God.
And I said to him, "You do know how old I am, right?" And he was like, "Yes, I don't mind if you don't." And I was like,
Oh no, we mind.
No, we mind.
We mind.
Like at that point, it could have been my kid.
Yeah. So, yeah.
But that's a whole new undercurrent of younger looking for.
Right. They do a lot of those profiles.
About their age.
Yeah. I get those profiles too. I'm like, oh my God, do you know my son? Okay, Alicia, quickly.
All right, mine's not funny. So I had a date with a guy.
No. We have to end on funny. Is it going to be no?
No. None of mine are funny. They're all horribly tragic.
Okay.
Dates.
Then we're going to skip you. We're skipping you.
No.
Yes.
No, I get to tell my story.
Okay.
It's funny to some people. So he's handsome, finance, two little girls. That's how long ago it was. He has two older girls now. I mean, I'm sure they're older. So we have a great date, you know, drinks at the bar, great conversation. He walks me to my car. We kiss because you're supposed to, you know, great. And then he asked me if I could drive him to his car. And I was like, sure. He gets in my car, passenger side. He pulls out his dick and he's about to masturbate. And I said, "Oh my God, get out of my car right now." So he got out of the, I was like, "Get out." So he gets out of the car, texts me the next day.
Well, this is funny.
He can still taste me on his lips. And I was like, you're a pervert. And that was, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So the worst part of the story was a friend of mine who's single, not really a friend, but I know her, texted me like a year later, and he was on the dating app, and she said, "Do you know this person?" Which I photographic memory, I know all of them. And I said, she said, I think I'm going to go out with him. I said, "Do not go out with him." I told her what he did. She wrote back, "I think I'm still going to go out with him." That's how sad the pool is.
Oh, God. Okay. Well, first of all, that was funny. I thought you were going to tell a sad story. That was funny. I just wanted to end on a funny note. Okay. So thank you. Thank you for your honesty, your humor, your vulnerability, and your wisdom. I would date you guys. maybe that's a topic for another show. And to the listener from Colorado who said my son was great on the podcast, I totally agree. And yes, he has a girlfriend. And this one I like very much. So that's it for today. Keep sending me your comments and questions. You can follow me at the.not.so.filter.therapist and listen to Naked Truths on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast. And if you are enjoying it, please download, share, and rate the podcast. It takes 2 seconds, and the ratings are important to get Naked Truths to other potential listeners. Have a great week. Tune in next Wednesday for another exciting new episode. And remember, life is so much better unfiltered.